Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome back. It's the Philosopher's Stone podcast yet again with Jordan Strauss and Sam Laboon. What up, dog?
What's up, D-A-W-G? Yes, that's how you spell
dog. Sam has just got back from work, his daily grind.
The daily grind has been ground, and now I'm just sitting here staring at the sun. What could be better?
Yeah, and the work is good.
Work's been good. It's slowed down a lot recently. Maybe good. Because my boss is on vacation.
That probably has something to do with it. But you were saying that it was really chaotic for a bit there. So
it was the most insanely busy work environment I've ever been in. Yeah, crazy. For like a solid month and a half. It was insane. Now it's kind of chilling out a bit.
Was it like Wolf of Wall Street offices, chaos, paper flying everywhere, midgets running around?
Yeah, mine is
cities out, cocaine being blown in faces.
Yeah, minus all of the fun stuff from Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah, it's kind of like
okay, that's good.
They needed to let loose like that. They can see stuff. It's tough. Fast-paced office environment is tough. Is very tough.
Yeah, they don't bring in strippers like they used to, do they? I feel like that used to be like a weekly thing.
Yeah, strippers, vodka in the office in the morning. Oh.
Man, drinking on the job, I think, used to be such a common thing. Like, have you ever watched Mad Men? No, but I think it was like openly like, come to my office, let's have a drink. Like,
yeah, Mad Men, yeah. Well, that's what I found in Asia. They still do that, like in South Korea.
Yeah.
There's still very much a work drinking culture, and you are expected to go out for drinks with your boss and stuff.
Oh,
and get drunk. And get drunk. You are expected to get drunk.
How do they not realize how bad that is for productivity?
Well, not every night. Like, it's more like they value like being able to see who someone really is.
They need to get you drunk so they know who you really are, so they can manipulate you better.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, people are very cagey, and private sometimes, I think, in those
Asian You've been to South Korea?
No, I have not, but I knew a lot of teachers who had taught there. And they said the principal would want to take a shot with them.
Part of me is like, that's dope. But like at the end of the day, how many of my bosses do I really want? Can I think that I've had my life that I really would like to go out and get hammered with? Like, not that many.
Yeah. Seems kind of weird.
I like to keep my back when I didn't work for my family. It's kind of hard to keep your private life and your work life separate when your boss is your mom and your coworkers are your brothers. But when I did work for other people, I think sometimes I'd hang out with coworkers if I got along. But for the most part, you know, keep those worlds separate.
Yeah, I find that's important. Church and state, they got to stay separate.
Yes, exactly. Also, how many did I mean? The story is old as time of going out getting hammered with your coworkers, someone like doing something or saying something embarrassing, and now your Monday's fucked. Now your whole job might be fucked, depending on what happened. But I've definitely been. I don't think I've ever like fooled around with any sort of coworker. Like, I don't think I've ever had that happen where like now I have to go work with this person, but. I definitely have seen it happen, and it seems like the worst. Like having to face that person every day.
Yeah.
It's just like when when you date in high school, right? Or two comedians dating. It's like, there's an extra layer of risk because if it goes south, which it usually does, you still have to see that person like all the time.
Yeah, it's true. That's why I've never understood couples who met at work. Like, I've always thought, like, man, how did you... For every success story of that, there must be 100 horror stories.
Yeah. I mean, if I like, I feel like one of them has to quit or change work environments.
Yeah. Yeah. Painful.
I mean, there are like successful, I guess, husband, wife, co-worker. Like, I mean, my dad works with my mom every day, but like, I don't know. I feel like going into business and it's just you and your wife, that's like, there's a lot of time spent with one person. It's not like you can, it's like you're with them all day and then you're at night, you're all day with them too.
Yeah.
You're bringing home your stresses of work too. You're probably always talking about work as well.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem fun to me. And the only people that I've known who have done it said they would never, ever do it again in a million years.
Yeah. I remember I had this, there was this one couple that I worked, that was like a sub trade I worked with. And, you could tell she was miserable and he was like bossing her around. Like at first I was like, man, he hates his employee. But I found out they were married and I was like,
Oh my God. Jesus.
Yeah. So that's that, rough. I think they're divorced now. I'm like pretty sure they're divorced now, but, yeah, it was rough.
I quit and also I get half the company.
Yeah. I want half of your profits going forward and I quit. I just realized if I divorce you, I can still be getting paid the same wage.
And I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
That's a pretty dope loophole, actually.
You always gotta be extra careful when you're going into business with a family member or friend. Because it will strain the relationship on some level.
Yeah. Yeah. Working in a law firm, I've seen too many intra-family lawsuits over things.
Yeah.
Not pretty. Usually they're fighting over mom's house or dad's house or something like that. Who gets the house?
Oh, yeah. The assets. That's why it's important to have a will that's very clear.
Yes. That is the reason for the will.
Yeah. Yep. That is the whole reason, is to avoid infighting.
Yeah.
Now, what I plan on doing is having nothing of value when I die to fight over.
Oh, that's clever.
It's really the greatest gift I could give my kids.
You're going to make sure they inherit nothing. And that way they dodge no inheritance tax. They dodge that.
Nice. Exactly. And this will be actually the only thing I put in my will, is I purposely died destitute and broke so you guys wouldn't fight over any of my wealth.
Well, you don't have to die broke. You just have to give the money to somebody else.
Right. Right.
Maybe their bully from school.
I'll give it to my 18-year-old second wife that I just met.
Nice. Pay for her college. Yeah, it's her college fund. Nice.
Yeah. Sons, I'm assuming I'm going to have two sons. I gave your inheritance to Tatiana.
Tatiana.
She said she could really use the money and doesn't want to get a job. So, speaking of children, my office is slowly being turned into a nursery. I'm surrounded by bassinets and a baby changing table and diapers and oh my God, it's becoming a real thing. I'm only a month away.
Wow, a month away
from fatherhood. Oh my God.
Well, that's fun. And the coolest thing is you don't really know what your, you know some things about your baby, but you don't know a whole lot. There's a whole lot of mystery.
Still a lot of mystery. Could be an asshole. Could be a complete, a complete dud.
Could be a complete dud. Just comes out and is just like, okay, who's going to be waiting on me hand and foot for the rest of my life?
You do see that sometimes where you're like, the parents seem like stand up, well-to-do people, and then the kid is just useless fuck.
The fail son. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to be the case, but.
No, you're going to whip some character into this young ragamuffin.
Yeah. He's a little muffin. That's what he's going to, I'm going to make him into a ragamuffin. Yeah. No, I can only imagine that he's going to, I don't know why that happens. Why some people's kids are nothing like them. That's the weird part. That's the scary part. Is I feel like I'm worried that if he grows up into someone I just don't understand at all.
Yeah, that could be weird. I think that's probably not, probably won't happen. I think that's pretty rare. I think a lot of things are hereditary, especially behaviors.
Yeah. I mean, I've basically turned into my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe slightly different set of, slightly different set of values, but not really.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we know he will be mortal, right?
Yes. All humans are mortal. We don't know that. He'll begin as a mortal, that's for sure. Who knows what technology is going to accomplish in his lifetime? He might be born immortal, and then he might never die. He might become immortal. He might be one of the first immortals.
He might have a rare mutation that makes him immortal. That'd be crazy, right?
I mean, that would be so rare that it's never happened ever before.
Yeah. Rare mutation might be underselling it.
Yeah. That is like the closest thing to divine intervention if it actually happened.
Yeah, rare. Yeah. So most likely going to be mortal, but you never know. Could be born with immortal mutation.
Could be.
Yeah. Probably will not have any psychic powers. Probably not. Most people don't, it seems.
Well, I mean, if he has the potential to be immortal, then I feel like getting another power would be no big deal for him.
That is true. Yeah. If you have the immortal mutation, you probably have a whole batch of other stuff going on too.
Yeah. Look, if realistically, if technology progresses, keeps progressing at a rate that it is now or speeds up, he could end up as an adult with amazing enhanced powers that were given to him by science and not by genetic mutations.
Oh yeah, like if neural implants, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and like nanotech that's in your body, yeah. And like, you know, maybe they come up with like really streamlined exoskeleton type things like Iron Man that can give him like super strength. Or maybe there will be some sort of, human guided mutation they can give people where it's like, hey, if you want to be able to, you know, secrete poison out of your back like a frog.
You want to be Swamp Thing? We can make you Swamp Thing.
Yeah. What do you want? What kind of, basically you can pick any power from nature and we'll give it to you, but it'll only be as powerful as what it is in nature. Whoa.
How is J.K. Rowling going to feel about all this?
Well, she'll be long dead probably, hopefully.
Yeah. I was just thinking like some of the good characters in her stories can turn into werewolves. So maybe, so if you had a mutation that let you turn into another animal, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. She's not a big fan of transitioning.
She's not a fan of transitioning genders. Yeah, that's the thing.
It's one thing to change your entire species, but God damn it if you change your gender.
Werewolves are misunderstood, okay? Remus Lupin is misunderstood, but trans people, holy shit.
Yeah.
Fenrir Greyback.
Yeah, I mean the whole man, I feel like people, the amount of fear around the trans issue is just so disproportionate. Or is it?
I think it is. I think people aren't really scared of trans stuff. They're scared of a conspiracy that public schools are going to brainwash their kids into
right
sex or something. Yeah.
I think that's where most people are really, if you really get bought down to it, I feel like they don't care about what people do outside once they're adults.
Yeah. It's mostly and I think the fear of like brainwashing in public schools to like get tons of children to change genders and stuff when they're in middle school. I don't have kids, so I'm not scared of that at all.
Yeah.
If I had kids, I might be like, I might go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But
I would have to go see for myself what's going on in these public schools. Cause like, it's just so much rumor and hearsay about innuendo, like, yeah. Cause like, I can only think of how it was when I was in high school, and like, yeah, there was definitely like Pride Day and stuff, but that was no big deal, and it was good for everyone to see that side of things. But mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe it's gone so far into crazy land. I'd have to go and like I'd have to go check out a high school. I'd have to go hang out with the kids.
Just go to the front desk and say, look, I'm just here to make sure these kids aren't having any underage gender modifications. I'll need to inspect all the genitals.
There was one, there's a family member that's in middle school right now, and I talked to him, and he told me that they actually do put litter boxes in the bathrooms, but I'm not
fucking with you so hard.
That's what I think. I think he was just trying to be sensational with his story. Yeah. I was like, no, they don't. He's like, no, they do. I'm like,
take a picture and send it to me.
Yeah, I would need to verify this, because like that is obviously a problem if that's actually happening.
Yeah, that'd be kind of weird. Yeah.
Well, it's unhygienic for first and foremost. Maybe they have
a school cat. Maybe there's a school cat.
That would be dope. But you know that some kid's gonna kill that cat.
Jimmy became our school cat.
Yeah.
Young Jimmy.
Yeah.
Is now the school cat, and you have to speak to him in with meows.
I don't Hopefully know. Most of me thinks it's a little bit of a boogeyman to point to.
So. Yeah. I think so as well.
Because there's not
great,
much else.
Story. Yeah.
Not much else they can point to that's actually scary.
Yes. As always, the solution is talk to your kids, I would say.
Yes.
Which they don't do in the classic Stephen King story, The Boogeyman. He doesn't talk to his kid.
How many books has that motherfucker written? Like, I swear to God.
350, I think.
No. Okay. Let's make, I got Google
that's a
right
random,
here.
That's just a random number.
What is your guess? Let's do a little guess here. Guessing.
How many game. Books, how many Stephen
books, King? How many books has Stephen King published?
I say over 150.
Really?
Yes. Over 150.
You can't say over. You have to say we're getting as close to the number as possible. So you're going to say 150.
Yeah, I think 150. And if I'm
published,
wrong,
not written, published.
Including short stories or not?
Yes, short stories.
Including short stories. Okay, I'm going 200.
Holy. 250.
250. I'm going 250.
I'm going to go 80.
80. Okay.
Published.
Total number of works.
How many books?
Stephen King.
Oh, 65, dude. He's written 65 over
novels, 200 short stories. 250. I am on the fucking money.
I should not have included short stories.
Yeah, that was
God damn it. Okay, no, we're not counting short stories. Who knows a single short story off the top of their head?
Survivor King. Type, The Boogeyman, The Mist.
The Boogeyman?
Yes, I have Skeleton Crew, one of his best anthologies. His short stories are way better than his novels.
Really?
Way better, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, if any of our listeners disagree with Sam, you're going to have to just tell him to his face.
Yes.
What do you think is your favorite? I haven't read any Stephen King. I haven't read a lot. I'm trying to get back into reading. I'm
not
really
much of a reader. Eh?
I used to be pretty avid reader, but I stopped reading somewhere along the line when I hit adulthood, and I'm just getting back into it, and I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it, but I am slow because I tend to read at night. And I tend to fall asleep really quickly if I start reading a book. So I'm like, I'm just plowing through this book at like 5 pages a night, basically.
Stephen King. Favorite short story by Stephen King. I really do love The Mist. The Jaunt is great.
1981, The Jaunt. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, The Jaunt is a great one. It's about teleportation. Technology going wrong.
First published in the Twilight Zone magazine.
Yeah. Yeah, The Mist is great. That's about
they made a movie US, about that, right?
Yeah, it's about a military experiment that goes awry and opens up like a some sort of portal, I guess.
He wrote The Green Mile?
Yes.
Don't, that's a yes, short story me.
Too. Yes. Yes.
Night Shift, 1978. Holy.
Yeah.
The Mist obviously, his most famous book is probably It, right?
Yes. I would say It. It or The Shining. Well, oh, Carrie's pretty famous.
Carrie, oh my God. Jesus. Okay, this guy's prolific as hell, hey?
Yeah.
Pet Sematary. Cujo. The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. Charlie
okay,
the
they're
Choo-Choo.
Not all, they're not all bangers. They're not all bangers, okay? He wrote
Charlie the Choo-Choo's about a train.
An evil train that kills. Yeah.
Is that what Thomas the Train Engine was based off of?
Yep, it was the children's version of that story.
Oh my God, that is a terrifying cover art, though. Holy. story about friendship, loyalty, and hard work, actually. His train engine, Charlie Choo Choo, is alive and also his best friend. Are you sure it's a horror? Is Charlie the Choo Choo a horror book? The story is intended to be creepy and give children nightmares. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Charlie the Choo Choo. Anyways, that's just his foray into kids' books, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, well, going back to your unborn child.
Yes.
They could be, yeah. One thing that's interesting I've just seen is there's this, have you ever heard of the remote viewing? The Men Who Stare at Goats. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, that's one. I love that movie. It's so good.
Yeah, so that movie is about a CIA program called Stargate, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I don't know really if it's a real program or if it's just something they made up to fuck with the Russians, that kind of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the program is that you can, a human being, right? An ordinary human being with just a small amount of training can sit in a room somewhere and somehow view another place in the world mentally.
Remote viewing, astral projection.
Yeah, I don't know how they say it works or whatever. But actually, no, I can say now because they have said that what it is there's a part of your brain called the cutate patutum or something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't forget. Some, like, they're saying is some organ in your brain. And if you have that organ, then that organ, or if that, everyone has it in their brain, but people who have it more developed can do like this telepathic thing. So if your child has a big brain telepathy region, could potentially have telepathic abilities.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I feel like if telepathy was really a thing that was accomplishable, there would be some verifiable evidence of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. No one's ever won the lottery by remote viewing, as far as I know.
Well, that's the thing. It's like all these psychics. The one guy who, what's his name? The guy who offered, he had $1 million offer to anyone who can prove that they could do any of these things for real.
James Randi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just every single person has been disproven. They're all tricksters. Hucksters and tricksters.
Yeah.
I went and saw, I got a tarot card reading for the first time. Yes, last summer. And they did not say anything that, first of all, incredibly vague and incredibly applicable to anyone, basically, is what they did.
Uh-huh.
But nothing specific. So this was right after my wife, Chelsea, finished cancer treatment. mm-hmm. and Chelsea was wearing a wig. There's no way you could have told. There's no way you could have known she had just finished cancer treatment. And I told her before we went into the little tent, if she doesn't mention anything about illness or recovery or going through something difficult recently or anything that hints towards the biggest thing that's been in our lives the last year, I think this is 100% bullshit. Sure enough, nothing she said even hinted to anything like that.
Wow.
The one thing that she said that resonated with me is you seem to be very hard on yourself, which is, again, everybody is. So it was all a bunch of shit like that. But the crazy thing was everybody that we saw coming out of her tent prior to us going and saying how accurate she was and how she got everything exactly right and how they couldn't believe it. And I was like, okay, I don't know what the average IQ is at this party we're at here, but
yeah, but the average emotional IQ is probably pretty good.
Yeah. If only there was, is there a test for the emotional IQ?
EQ, emotional quotient.
You making that shit up right now?
Yeah, no, that's real. That's real. Emotional quotient is real. Just like intelligence quotient. But, yeah, well, that doesn't prove that telepathy is wrong. It just proves they didn't know how to do it at that fair. They didn't have the right cutate putanum organ size.
Well, it wasn't a fair. It was a party. Someone hired a tarot reader to come read at this party. But she claimed that her mother was a psychic. Her mother was a psychic. She comes from a long line of psychics. So I'm like, oh, third generation psychic. She should be fucking nailing everything.
Yeah, she should have a well-developed cutate putanum. So.
Yes. Well, it wasn't. It was all shriveled up and gross. She couldn't even point a single underlying hint towards the biggest event of our lives that had just occurred.
Yeah, that's weird.
So you would think she could at least have hinted towards something that major happening, right? But no. All very vague, applicable to anyone.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like she had very high emotional intelligence either. She couldn't even tell that you guys had just been through something tough. Bizarre.
Well, I think a lot of it, maybe I'm misunderstanding the purpose of tarot cards. I think it was more like, I think she did both. She did like a reading of where she was predicting shit, or she was just pulling cards out and saying, this is what that card means. Mm-hmm. And like, when it comes to that, you can just open up a book of tarot card meanings and just pull a card, flip to the book, or memorize the book, and then you're good to go. And I'm sure that she was expensive to hire.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to think that telepathy is possible somehow. I just don't know. You could definitely do it if you had like two microchips in two people's heads. Right. So you put one implant in one person's head and another wireless implant in another person's head. Those two people could maybe communicate their thoughts telepathically. But it would be through the implant broadcasting it as data rather than their brain itself.
I mean, you could pass that off as telepathy to someone who doesn't know what an earpiece is and a phone. Like if you like went back in time and you had two people with phones, you could convince people that if they didn't know what the phone was, you could convince them that you're reading each other's minds because how are you talking to each other from so far away?
Yeah. Now here's another. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You know what? Some part of me wishes I could go back in time and just fully give in to the lack of ethics and morality around just grifting people, like start a religion, start becoming a psychic, something like that. Cause people are just so willing to pay for that shit.
How do you know that that's not exactly what happened?
What do you mean?
Jesus is a time traveler. No.
That makes more sense than anything else. No, I think that, okay, here's a different question.
I have another telepathy thing, but
okay, hit me. I knew you were going to.
Yeah, this is okay. So there's two. You could do implants, right? Neural implants.
Yeah.
But here's another thing, right? We have machines right now that are totally capable of scanning your brain to very high levels of detail where they can read the brain activity going on.
Yes.
So we can read brain activity with scanners.
Yes.
If that technology gets better and better, right? You could imagine that you could sit down in your car, for example, and your car would know where you want to go.
Yeah. Just by scanning. That's already happening with AI. Did you see that?
With a brain scan? AI
dilemma. What?
Like yes. Using a brain scan? Yeah, exactly.
They hook up a guy's brain to an MRI scan, and they get him to watch something. It was a clip. In this particular instance, it was an animated clip of a girl on a ship, and then a big tentacle came out of the sea and knocked her off the ship, right? And the person just watched it.
Is this a porno? What was this?
It could have been the beginning of a porno. They didn't get into that, all right? Anything can become a porno now. The person was watching it. Their brain was hooked up to MRI machine. The data was shown to an AI, and the AI just said what the person was watching. Another thing, they were looking at a picture of a giraffe. MRI AI not only knew they were looking at a giraffe, but they put an image. It generated an image of what they thought they were looking at, and it was very close. So imagine one day the drone, AI drone, or even just any AI that has a built-in MRI scanner on it somehow, that it can scan your brain without actually hooking you up to it. It could just read your thoughts, basically.
Yeah. And this is crazy, right? So suppose you have that machine, suppose you didn't know that a machine could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And suppose you went home or you got in your car or something and there were no control surfaces in your car, like no steering wheel.
Yeah.
Right. And so you just sit down in your car, there's no steering wheel, nothing. And you just start and you think like, how can I make this thing go forward? And then suppose it just started going forward.
Right? Yeah.
You might think, because you didn't know about this, that this technology is there, you might think something like that was like magic or something.
Yes. Any sufficiently advanced technology will be indistinguishable from magic. Arthur C. Yes. Clarke.
Yeah. Yeah. And so telepathy, if you didn't know that that was how telepathy worked, you might think, I'm saying that wrong. So there's a way that telepathy could be possible, but it would be done through
technology. Yes. So it wouldn't be true to telepathy, right?
No.
That's just like saying flight is possible, which it is, but it's not true flight. Like it's not Superman type flight, but people nowadays can wear pretty compact jetpacks and fly pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could even suppose, you might even suppose that if you were to see this telepathy technology, you would think it was some sort of magic property of the brain and mm-hmm. not a property of technology.
Right. But I know too much about technology, right? Nowadays, if I saw something that looked like magic, I saw someone that had some insane ability, my first thought would be he has some sort of advanced tech that's allowing him to do this. It wouldn't be he's actually got powers. Whereas a few hundred years ago, people might have just assumed he had powers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they might have assumed it was magic, yeah.
Yes, but now people are too savvy, tech savvy. People are aware of the how fast technology progresses, and we live in a time where technology is consistently blowing our minds still, even though we're fully aware it's just tech. But we get our new, I feel like every 10 years we get a new batch of like insane technology that we couldn't have imagined 20 years ago.
Yeah. But what would
I got a new phone. I got a new phone yesterday and it folds in half. The screen folds in half. And it's like there's no distortion. It's kind of crazy.
Wow.
And I've seen it, but to actually like like play around with it, there's a fucking fold in the middle of the screen and there's no distortion. I'll show it to you when I see you. It's bizarre, but it is kind of cool. I can fold my phone in half and now it's like just a little square and that takes up way less room in my pocket.
It is kind of, I wonder what is like scarier, if technology keeps progressing at like an exponential rate or if it just sort of stalls.
It's a funny question because technology obviously is always a double-edged sword. So a lot of when I'm feeling nostalgic about my childhood is the stuff that I'm nostalgic about, the time pre-internet mostly, or early internet really. Yeah. You know, back when it was like addictinggames.com, like flash games dominated the internet and you didn't have all these, everything conglomerate. You had to go to specific websites for specific things and things were just a little bit more, I don't know. The golden age of the internet was a good time. Like this, it's devolved basically into like doom scrolling, which is, you know, very short clips. I think this whole everything has to be 60 seconds long or no one's going to watch it is a fucking bad route that humanity has taken. As far as the internet has taken, right? Because like nowadays it's like, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, they all have short video formats now, right? Every single one of them. Yeah. And those are the ones where you can swipe up in a new video and your algorithm figures out what you watch longest and just gives you more of that, right? So you end up just watching very short videos, hundreds in a day, probably not remembering 90% of them. And it's really, I feel like that's not a great thing. Well, it's terrible for attention spans. They know that. And I don't know. I feel nostalgic for the days of like, before that, where there was a golden age of technology in my mind, and that was pre-smartphone.
The golden age of technology.
Well, not gold, maybe not as far as its effectiveness. It depends on how you think of what constitutes a golden age. It was when I was happiest with the level of technology, was back when like flip phones were just coming out and YouTube existed, but it was just like you really were getting like weird creators on there doing it just for the love of the game. Like before it was such a business to get into and a career, people were just making shit because they wanted to. And I think that is kind of getting lost because now people are catering what they're making to the algorithm.
Yeah. Interesting.
So now you get like 20 YouTubers all doing the exact same type of content and they're all at the top of the game. Like all the cooking YouTubers, all the game review YouTubers, all the movie review YouTubers, they all do the exact same format, the exact same way.
Cookie cutter.
Yes, because that's, if they don't do that, they won't get picked up from the algorithm. So there was a time where people were making such weird and crazy and creative shit because they weren't trying to cater it to anything other than to what they personally thought was cool.
Yeah. Well, I do think that this is nothing new. This is nothing new. This is the success of hacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
It hacks. Is.
They hack it. There's always an algorithm, whether it's in software or in reality. There is an algorithm to just success. And if you follow it, then you are called a hack because you're not doing anything creative. You're just figuring out what the market wants and feeding it.
Mm-hmm. The difference between now and then, though, is you have to be feeding the algorithm in order to stay relevant. So it creates this environment where you have to be creating content non-fucking-stop, which means the quality usually suffers because it doesn't matter if it's good as long as it's there. That's what matters.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, you have to keep feeding it because the algorithm isn't a real person. It's like it's got its own.
Yes. So if you stop posting, you drop out of the algorithm. And that, so now, I mean, you see it with everything, but like obviously we're in the comedy world, but that's that's why crowd work is so prevalent now, because it's content. People are making content, not art. I'm not the first person to say that, obviously. That's been just talked about a lot now, but everything, even the movie studios, they're making, that's why they're pumping out 18,000 fucking Star Wars shows, and they all suck, because it doesn't matter if they're good. As long as they keep producing, it's just content.
I thought the problem was exactly the opposite. Like, I thought the Acolyte, for example, like, I hear a lot of people like the Acolyte and what was the other one?
Andor.
Yeah. So those two people really liked those because they were different, and then they both got canceled after one season, right?
Okay. The Acolyte, universally hated, as far as really? I can tell. Yes. But
didn't it try to be something different?
Not it. What do you mean by be something different?
Like, wasn't it making like a Sith character the like protagonist?
I didn't watch it. I just watched a bunch of YouTubers review it. I know that it got canceled because it was hated so much.
Hated by the YouTube machine that hates everything that Disney Plus puts out?
Well, why don't you go look at some reviews wherever you choose. It doesn't have to be YouTube. It can be wherever. In fact, why don't you watch it and tell me if it was good?
I am a Paramount Plus man. I do not have Disney Plus.
Cop out. Cop out. Okay, but here's the other thing. I heard Andor was amazing, so it's not just because it's Disney.
Yeah, fair.
But I think the Acolyte got canceled because people hated it. That's why it got canceled.
Because it was so unique and different. They wanted familiar pablum. Instead, they got something bold and brave.
It was not unique and different, though. It was exactly what people expected. There was a heavy, heavy feminist narrative.
The Star Wars people don't like that shit.
Well, the thing is that they keep on making shows for an audience that doesn't watch Star Wars.
Yeah, I think honestly, I think they are so, so greedy that they think they can make like lots more women like this genre if they make the characters female. I hate to break it to them, but it's not going to happen.
That's not how it works. Well, if you're going to do it right. Don't just make them female for the sake of, like, there's nothing wrong with female protagonists, but I just made them female and now my work stops. Like, now I don't have to write interesting dialogue or have any interesting character arcs. It's the boss bitch formula where every character that's a woman in these Star Wars movies is like has no faults. They have no character development because they're already perfect. It's everything else that's getting in their way. That's the problem. Anyways, the Acolyte.
The science fiction genre is not appealing to women usually, no matter how many of the characters are female.
Well, yeah. There's probably more female science fiction fans nowadays than before. But if you're making a feminist Star Wars TV show, I don't think there's enough fans that fall into that category out there. And you're also probably like, you're disappointing a bunch of the other people that are fans of Star Wars.
Well, you can make it feminist without making it about feminism. That's
what I'm saying is, you don't have to hit the nail on the head so goddamn hard every time. Whatever happened to like subtly?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, interesting point about the golden age of technology being in the 90s. It kind of reminds me of that, that essay we talked about from Jean-Jacques Rousseau, where he responds to the question, have technological and scientific developments benefited humanity or harmed humanity? So it's interesting to wonder, like, is there an optimal level of technological assistance for human beings?
Okay. I think we're going to... Tell me what we can
keep and tell me what needs to go.
Electricity. Okay, we're taking electricity.
We're taking electricity.
Yeah.
Electricity has some baggage that comes with it.
Okay. Every technological invention is going to have baggage.
Is that baggage worth it?
Okay, you tell me the pro. Make a pros and cons list for electrical energy.
For electrical energy? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Start with the pros. Basically anything you want to do is easier if you can electrify.
The pros is it makes everything possible.
Cons. It itself requires a lot of energy to make.
Yes.
Whether you're generating it from steam by burning coal or hydropower or fossil fuel generation.
Hydropower isn't expensive once it's set up.
Well, setting it up, I mean, building a dam, like a Hoover Dam, that's a monumental feat, quite literally.
But you only have to do it once.
You only have to do it once, that's true. But you have to develop all of the technology and know-how to do it and do it once.
Okay, well, that's just like solar energy. It might be an expensive initial cost, but once it's set up, it's just maintenance after
that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
solar. You don't have to destroy anything that uses a resource that's replenishable, aka solar or water.
Yeah.
Is going to be a setup cost, and then you can maintenance after that. But if you're burning coal, you're polluting. Yes, and you're also using up a much less renewable resource. So I mean, still, the pros list is way bigger than the cons list when it comes to electricity.
Okay, I think so. Yeah, I think you're right. I think generally, yeah, the pros, especially depending on how you generate the electricity, mm-hmm. like if you build a dam or if you have solar cells.
What do you think has been the most problematic?
The worst technology?
Technology that we have seen come in the modern age, because I know what it is in my head. And I've probably said it a million times on this podcast. So everybody who's listening, all 10 of you, hopefully, maybe even less, probably already know what I'm going to say. But I want to hear what you think first.
What do I think? Okay. I think I love movies,
mm-hmm.
but I do think screens are bad.
Screens are bad.
Yeah.
Why?
I think I don't even know, because I've never lived without them, so how do I even know?
Probably lived a certain part of your childhood with very, very little screen time.
Yeah, I think the screens do something to the way you perceive three-dimensional space that would never happen if you hadn't looked at them before.
What do you mean by that? Like, we don't...
Like, I was walking down the street once, and I literally tried to flip. Like, you know how on your phone you flip up to, like, move past stuff?
Yeah.
I tried to do that just, like, with what I was looking at when I was walking down the street. Like, I reflexively, like, took my thumb and went, like, flick it up, like, in front of my face. And I was like, oh, my God.
That's not good.
That's not good.
Okay. Well, fuck, dude. He tried to swipe reality.
Yeah.
Because
it teaches you that whatever you're looking at is, like, optional, kind of. And you should be looking at whatever fits your fancy in this moment you should have right in front of you.
Okay.
Anyway, what's yours?
That kind of relates to mine, but mine is not screens themselves. It is basically social media.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Social media.
That's basically mine too. Yeah. Yeah.
Screens have more uses than just for social media, but social media is, it requires screens to be used. But
yeah,
I think social media is the thing that was the step too far for me. That was crossing a line that I think we should not have crossed, or we should have crossed a lot differently. And this is another thing. If you haven't watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix, or it was on Netflix, I don't know where it is, but it is one of the most impactful documentaries I've ever seen because of how relevant it is to our current situation as a society. And it's very obvious it's why it's such a big problem once they lay it out for you. I mean, people all kind of vaguely know it's bad at this point.
Yeah.
People all kind of vaguely are like, yeah, fuck social media, but no one really can put it into, like, most people wouldn't be able to put it into words exactly why, other than it's addicting, it's terrible for your mental health, spread of misinformation, it's divisive, it's the ad model where you clicks get money, and how do you get clicks? You outrage people. All of that. It triggers your tribalism. It's terrible. It really is. I do think that there was a time where it was good. Like at the very beginning, I think Facebook was awesome because it was so simple.
It'd be so simple to just make it a great thing.
It would. But the thing about how Facebook was at the beginning is, look, open your phone and scroll through your Facebook and tell me how much of what you're seeing is actually shit from people you know.
That's the thing. It's practically none of it is.
Yeah.
And the only good thing about it are how it helps you have group chats and coordinate stuff.
Yes.
People that you know in real life.
Yes. That is the best. That's the most useful aspect, is you can plan stuff with people.
People that you already know.
Yes. But as far as the thing is, it became an entertainment source.
Yeah.
Instead of a social media, like instead of a place where you really can interact with your friends and family. Now everybody got, you scroll through Facebook, it's all articles and shit. It's all articles.
And
most of the articles are either A, factually incorrect, or B, written by AI.
Mm-hmm.
And then the comment section full of AI, probably.
Yeah. Real people can't post news in Canada on Facebook.
Yeah. So, and honestly, I really don't miss the news being posted on social media, because like, man, is there any quicker way to ruin your mood than reading a social media comment section on a contentious news article?
No, that's the thing. You can't post anything. You can't post that. Like, there's like a new species of beaver that was discovered. Like, you can't post that.
I mean, I don't really get my news from Facebook. It's all like, social media, Facebook is a wasteland right now. Like, I don't go, people go to Instagram if they want to see what their friends are up to. But even now, it's like a lot of the people are following people they don't know, or accounts that are like, you ever go, like, I used to follow a lot of nature accounts, and now they're all selling out and people are paying them to advertise on. And it's just like, fuck, man, it's just talking. But point is, right when Facebook came out, that was basically, MySpace actually was pretty dope. You get a custom page where you can, highly customizable color palette. You have music that plays automatically when someone goes to your page. That shit was dope. Okay. Facebook, back when it was really all about your friends and family and like watching it, it's at a certain level, it was good. And now it's a wasteland. And now with these short videos, it has become, man, the amount of times me and my wife will just catch each other and an hour and a half has gone by. We haven't said a word to each other. We've just been swiping through videos.
Yeah. Brutal. And you
know
what?
Shit that the algorithm knows you'll watch. It's like, oh, you like cooking videos, drumming videos, and political videos and gaming videos. So it just feeds me that all fucking day. And my brain just gets a little ding of dopamine. Ugh. We're prisoners. So I'd say 2005, final answer.
That's when it all went to hell.
2005 was the peak as far as where technology should have frozen. The thing is that I think if you freeze all of technology, and we got to be able to take the good with the bad. We need to be able to expel the bad and keep the good. That's what we need to learn to do. And that's my hope for humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think we can't escape, unfortunately, because
everything is.
No, it's true. Everything, I think, is driven. All these bad things on Facebook that you're talking about, I think those are all like highly profit motive things that make money.
But
they allow it because it makes money. And as long as they make money, they won't change a thing.
See, the thing is that public perception is a lot more powerful than I think you're giving it credit. I think that people are becoming sick of scrolling and swiping and social media in general. I think people realize how unhappy it makes them. And that is going to, I think that what's going to happen is there's going to become, people are going to invent different versions of social media that are more, or it's going to become regulated. Something's going to happen where it's going to change into something more healthy, because long term, this shit is not going to work out for us. And I think that's becoming obvious, because that was not, no one saw this coming back when Facebook first started.
Oh, that it was going to become
such a problem that where it could literally become to like a point where it has exasperated political divide to a point that would not have been possible without it.
Oh, like spreading conspiracy theories and stuff?
Conspiracy theories and just like I said, the ad model where it's like it will generate in untrue articles to get clicks, and people don't take the time to research if they're true because they got to move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that my hope is that by the time my child is my age, that social media has been re-regulated maybe, or reinvented, and the internet itself has been, maybe AI can help reinvent it to be a more healthy piece of technology, because I think that you can take any double-edged sword and dull one of the edges if you do it with intent.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's as simple as just restricting the I mean, honestly, if you're going to stop the armies of bots and stuff, like that kind of thing, because that wasn't possible when the internet was first started, these like armies of bots that post all this shit that aren't real people.
Yeah.
The only way to deal with that is, I think, a ton more regulation in who can open an account on Facebook and stuff like that. And
I think you're going to have to use AI to clean up AI. Like, I really do. I think they're going to have to figure out a way to instantaneously fact check the shit, instantly be able to destroy bot users. If it's all real facts and real people, it wouldn't be such a problem. Right.
Yeah. If I don't think AI can do that though.
It can.
And because
it
will. when you sign up to join Facebook, how can the AI tell the difference between a real person signing up and a fake person signing up?
Well, I mean, you could ask, how is AI going to generate a crazy realistic photo image? And what do we have now? AI is going to be able to do a ton of things that we don't
verify someone's identity. That requires more than just like a high level of analysis. Like, you need
no. To there's going to have proof. To be. Yeah, you're right. It's going to have to get regulated. But like, what do like they think? So this much. Whole idea like, that all regulations are like more regulations are bad. It's like, when you have something as powerful as this, you have to regulate it.
You have to regulate it, but you can't. Like, here's the thing with the internet, right? So, say you regulate it enough that only real people can sign up.
Mm-hmm.
To regulate it that much, real people will have to sign up with identification.
Mm-hmm.
And your internet account will be linked to your actual identity.
Yes.
That would change, that would make the internet completely different than it was when it first started. So you'd have a completely new thing because...
Yes. I've been saying this for years.
You have now. No, you can be anything you look at, anything you look is all tracked. And yes. That is, if everything that you do on the internet is tracked, then no way in hell will anyone trust a business to hold that information, because they've been fucking with our personal information ever since this started.
I mean, they already have it all. But here's the thing: you can't have it both ways. Seemingly, right? It's either the Wild West of bots and AI and misinformation and chaos, or you highly regulate it. And now it's this like regimented government controlled thing.
Yeah, I don't know if either one of those is good.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think either one of those is good, but one of them is really bad right now. So I think we're going to have to find some sort of balance where, because I think being able to connect with people and having discussions about factual things that are happening, even if it gets heated, is good. It's when people are being fed two versions of reality, and that's what's causing them to fight. That's a problem. We are no longer in a shared reality. We're all living in different realities based on whatever fucking political leaning you're in.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's important to remember that at the end of the day, we're all just living on this rock together, man.
Well, here in my hand, I hold what I view as sort of a compromise of technology, because I'm reminiscing about the simplicity of the flip phone, but I don't want to give up the benefits of the smartphone. And I have in my hand one of the first ever smart flip phones, where if I keep it closed, all I can do is text on the front screen and answer calls and do, like, you know, use my GPS. And I have to open it up for it to access to the other things. So as long as I keep it closed, I can still do the basic stuff any other dumb flip phone can do. And I don't open it unless I really need to do something that requires the smartphone capabilities. So it's not perfect, but it's an example of the old way meeting the new way and it becoming some sort of compromise.
Yeah, I would hope that we will calm down and chill out and not need as much technology to get through every day.
Yes, I think that's what's going to happen. I really do. I think people are just going to have enough of this. Anyways, that's our podcast. That's only done because we have technology.
Oh yeah, isn't electricity great?
Yes. Sam hates electricity.
But we'd have to do this like live in a park and yell at people if it wasn't.
Would all, honestly probably be way more fun.
Yeah, but we'd be competing with like every other podcast. Think of all the podcasts had to go out live. It'd be so loud outside.
Holy shit. It's basically just people hanging out at a park.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think you just invented private conversations.
Whoa, dude. Get a patent on that. Yeah, that's
good. All right, that's our podcast. Talk to you all later.
See ya.